I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22, verse 29. And then when we get done with the message, we're going to have communion. Don't let me forget that. I already did, so. Luke 22, verses 29. Lord, we just, again, Lord, thank you for the beautiful service we've been having, Lord. It's exciting, Lord, to come into your house, Lord, and be amongst your people, Lord, and worship you, Lord, and just sense your spirit and your power, Lord, knowing people are being delivered and people are being drawn to a deeper walk with you, Lord. We just ask you to continue working in such a manner here in this place, Lord. I ask you to anoint this word, Lord. Bring this simple message, Lord, and just make it real and alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Luke 22, verse 29, says, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. I read that I'm a New King James guy, and I've read a lot of versions, and but sometimes when you read different versions, different words are used, and those words seem to stand out more and catch your interest. So when I was reading that earlier this week, this verse, reading the New King James Version, it says, I bestow upon you a kingdom. And that really grabbed a hold of me, what is being said here, that the Lord's bestowing his kingdom upon mere human beings, upon people. You know, there's two spiritual kingdoms that we can't see. One is Satan's, and the other is God's. And the kingdom of God is assaulted every day by the devil and the fallen angels. And one of the reasons, and the main reason you are hated by the devil and hell is because you belong to the kingdom of God. You are a citizen of another kingdom. That's why I never get shook up with the politics in our land and the way things are going, because I'm like, ultimately, that's not the kingdom I belong to anyway. I belong to a kingdom that's founded on a rock and it can't be moved, so praise God. But the kingdom of God, no doubt, you can't see it, is a real kingdom. And you can't see it with eyes. You can't point to its borders. There's no walls around it or fence to make it stand out. You can't go and see the king sitting on the throne, although a few people have had that privilege. We know Isaiah saw him sitting on the throne. We know Stephen saw him standing on the right hand of the throne. And maybe John was the most blessed of all. He got to be into that throne room and see him sitting on the throne and the Lamb and the 24 elders around the throne praising God constantly. They could never quit praising God. But so you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't mark it out. It's here or there. But because the kingdom of God does not come with observation, meaning it's not a physical kingdom. It's not a natural kingdom. But no doubt it is as real as you and I are in this place this morning. We can see the citizens of God's kingdom. We can see the life of those who represent his kingdom. And we can see it manifested in believers and the effect of the kingdom on people. Though we can't see the kingdom, we can see it as a force that deals with people and reckons with people. And we can see the people that are in the kingdom and the effect they have on other people because they belong to this spiritual kingdom. Though the sinners in this world are not even aware of the kingdom of God that's all around them, they are restrained by its power. Imagine when the kingdom of God is removed from this earth. You think it's berserk now? It's going to go absolutely crazy in this world with no presence and power of God, no one to speak of, thus saith the Lord, no one to have a standard, and no one to stand in the gap anymore. And these people are being restrained because God's people are present on the earth. Again, even though you can't physically see God's kingdom, it is everywhere that God's people are. This church is part of the kingdom of God this morning. The kingdom of God is very hard to enter. Some of you are probably thinking that doesn't line up theologically, but Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many will seek to enter but will not be able to. We always think most people don't want to enter, but people are trying to enter the kingdom, and they can't. Jesus says to strive to enter in. But I got good news for you, because Mark 10, 14 and 15 says, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So as hard as it can be to enter, it's as easy as for a child to enter. Praise God. The reason people strive to enter in is because they want to maintain their pride. They want to maintain their self-worth, and they want to maintain their self-effort, and they want to maintain their self-life and self-love and the pride of life and all of these things. And you can't enter the kingdom of God on those terms. They have to be gone. Gone. Pride slams the gate shut of the kingdom of God. But once a person humbles themselves, just as a child does, it's as easy as a little toddler can just walk into it. Amen. Little Eden, she's already crawling through the door over there. Doesn't take much to enter the kingdom if you humble yourself. Praise God. It's pride that keeps people. That's the primary thing that keeps people out of heaven. I know people love their sin and all of that and some of those things, but it's pride that keeps a person out of heaven. We don't handle the kingdom of God as some fragile antique vase. Again, it's a spiritual kingdom. You can't put it in your hands and give it to someone. You can't point to a certain direction and say that here it's over there, it's over here, it's over there. Because Jesus said we're not supposed to say the kingdom of God is here or there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Praise God. It's the first time I've ever known of a kingdom not to be some landmass, but it's in a heart, it's in people, the kingdom of God. So, amen. Well, that will help you be able to say, knowing that the kingdom of God is in you and believing that and walking it, you'll have no problem saying, follow me as I follow Christ, because you are a living example, a living testimony of the kingdom of God. Matthew 12:28 says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So whenever Jesus and the disciples performed miracles through the Holy Spirit, they were bringing the kingdom of God into reality before the people. They were making it visible, at least to those who wanted it to be. Those Pharisees, those hard, proud Pharisees, they could never see the kingdom of God. They could never see the truth, though it was standing there looking them in the face, because they were stubborn and they were hard-headed. They're full of pride, and they couldn't see it. But if you humble yourself, you'll see the kingdom of God and be able to enter in. And those who reject it, Jesus said, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's us Gentiles. He took it from the Jews, yet he let some of them get saved. Praise God. He gave it to us Gentiles. And I preached last week about bearing fruit, and I don't need to preach that again. But we're called to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. That's who he's given it. He's taken it away from and given it to a people that will bear fruit. So there are a few things that make the kingdom of God visible on this earth. And one of them is signs and wonders, a supernatural power, an ability beyond man, beyond what we can do. Because if man can do it, then it's man's kingdom. But when God works in supernatural power, then his kingdom is on display. His kingdom is being seen. And then another thing that makes his kingdom visible is fruit. And it's not necessarily talking about the fruit of the Spirit, though it includes it, but it's about making disciples of all nations. In Matthew 21, 43, I'm going to read that again. It says, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So this verse follows a parable. This bringing forth fruits follows a parable of a householder who leased a vineyard to a husbandman, and then he went on a far journey. So this depicts Jesus. He was here, established his church, his kingdom, and then he went on a long journey where? To intercede for us at the right hand of the Father to one day return and collect. And the husbandman is the one who works the land, and that is you and I. We are left to work the land and to be working the soil of this fallen world to see if we can present to God someday some saved sinners. This is the kind of fruit, of course, the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit that he's left the church to do is present to him men and women who were once fallen and lost and were bound in chains and present them to the Lord free of the chains, broken of the chains. Praise God. Living for him. And we are to produce disciples for the Lord. It's what the Great Commission really says, to make disciples. Just not preach the name of Jesus, but to make disciples of all nations. The kingdom of God, for the most part, is invisible. And that's what makes it such a mystery. Mark 4:11. Jesus says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. See, God doesn't need to speak to us in parables because he's opened our eyes. He's enlightened us. He's given us revelation of the kingdom of God. And it isn't the mystery. I mean, there's always deeper things to grow, but the mystery of the church has been revealed to us. And the kingdom does not have to be a mystery to us. And we have the privilege of knowing all about it. As much as you want to know about it, he will let you know. Sometimes you have to be patient. But for the most part, we know what we want to know. We're as free as we want to be free. We know as much of God and have as much of God as we want. Amen. I know we get impatient. Sometimes we think we want him more than we really do. And then sometimes he says, well, this comes along with it. You know, we like, okay, kind of cool it off a little bit. But the kingdom of God is wide open to everyone of you who want to know as much about the kingdom as you want. But to really get into this message, and the thing that really gripped me when I was reading this early in the week, is that word bestow. He bestowed upon us a kingdom. You know, some things that you have are very precious to you. Sometimes just a little plaque or something you got from great-great-great-grandpa or grandma or something is so precious to you. If you lose it, you feel like you lost the world. And there's some things that are so precious that we maybe not allow anyone or just a few select people to even take care of those things for us. Sometimes you put something and say, hey, will you take care of this for me until such and such a time? And if you owned a $100,000 car, there's probably, if any of us owned that, we probably would not let anybody drive it or just maybe a few people because those things are precious to us. And out of everything you own and even putting everything we all own together does not equal the value, doesn't even come close to equaling the value of the kingdom of God. All the lands and all the goods of this world will have no, just a teeny bit of value compared to the kingdom of God. But here's what just gripped me is God's entrusting us. He's trusting human beings with his kingdom. He just slips that verse in there. He bestows the kingdom upon us. It seems to kind of take the weight out of it. You would think like if you have something very valuable and you're going to have someone to take care of it, or like your dog, for example, and they're going to dog sit for you. You're going to give them a list of here's what time you feed it, here's what you give it. And you're going to have all of these things written out. You know, or if you have something valuable to give somebody, here's what you got to do to take care of it and make sure this and make sure that. But here the Lord bestows on us a kingdom and doesn't even really give us much. He just says, I bestow on you a kingdom. And then he goes on to continue. Jesus continues to go on talking. And so he just kind of like, as I said, kind of slipped that verse in. But yet, that kind of gives us confidence that this isn't that hard of a thing to do. That we can receive the oversight of the kingdom of God. He's put us in that place to represent his kingdom down here on earth. John 2, 23 through 25 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. It says they believed. They saw the signs, but he would not commit himself to them because he knows what's in the heart of men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in man. But now through the Spirit of God, he can entrust us with some things. In fact, he can trust us with his very kingdom today. This is a very huge privilege we have and a very huge responsibility that God has given us mere men the ability to present his kingdom to this world. We often are ignorant of this high calling of overseeing God's kingdom and think often, oh, being a Christian is just being a good example, going to church and doing some things for the community, and that's the extent. But we are overseeing a kingdom, a whole real kingdom that exists all over this world. So I'd like to make a few points in regard to this responsibility and privilege of this kingdom that God has bestowed upon us. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So first of all, we have to be faithful to the kingdom of God. A steward is a house distributor. Like that, it's a house distributor. It's a manager, he's an overseer, and even a treasurer. Handles all of the different aspects, just as we handle the aspects of our house. You know, we have to maintain our homes. And Ella and Nora spent the night last night, and she was up early, and she said, Grandpa, Papa, I have a very important question to ask you. And she goes, like, isn't that a waste of money? She's like pointing at pictures on the wall. And so this is an important question, like important in the whole world, I think she said. Right, Ella? And I says, well, see, money is like a hammer. You use a hammer to pound a nail. So you use money like a tool as well. You use money to, first of all, provide food for you and divide. I hope I remember where I'm going with this because I kind of lost it. But I'll continue and hopefully it'll come back to me. But you got to buy your clothing, your food and your clothing. And this is, and you need the money to buy a house or to live in an apartment and to have heat and to take care of all of these things. Now I know where I'm going. That's being a good steward. And then I went on to explain sometimes we waste our money. And sometimes we borrow money when we don't have enough, when we don't need to buy the things that we're borrowing it for, and we get ourselves and trying to speak that to her in her little young mind. But that's what it is to be a steward for the kingdom of God. It's no more difficult than you being a faithful husband, being a faithful wife, being faithful to your children, being faithful to your employer, be faithful to everything. I was going to say be more faithful to the kingdom of God than you are to your husband or wife. But you know what? If you're faithful, you're faithful. You know? There's no greater degree or less degree. You either are faithful or you are not faithful. Amen? Be faithful. We must be faithful to the kingdom of God just as we are to one another here in the church. Luke 16:11 through 13 says, if therefore we have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? How can we be faithful with the kingdom of God? if we're not faithful with our own household. Amen? If we're not faithful with our church here, why would God give us more of his kingdom to be faithful with? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant, and here's really the heart of that. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're either going to be faithful or you're not going to be faithful. You be faithful now with what God's given you, whether it's little, medium, or a lot, then you will be faithful to the kingdom of God because he's bestowed it upon us. There are a couple things that are recorded in the Bible that people will hear when they stand before the Lord. One of them is the most fearful things, depart from me, for you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. But you know what is going to be heard by all of us, I'm believing? Well done. It says in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So above all things, we must be faithful first to the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. If we're faithful here, then God will bestow more upon us. So the first thing we must do is be a faithful people. Number two, we must protect the kingdom of God. Just as you protect your home and you protect your family from harm and from evil, from the elements, from so many things, and we are to watch over the kingdom of God with the same fervency and the same observation. You know, many of our politicians today, they have lost their sense. They have gone, they have lost the call to be a steward over our nation. Aren't they called to take care of and watch over? Not take care of us, like do everything, but, you know, protect us. Protect our borders, right? These are the basic things. In fact, that's the main purpose of the federal government, is to protect our lands from invasion. But they've got these agendas and they got their ideas. And they've lost their sense of being a good steward over our nation. For the sake of votes or just for the hatred of a person, they insist that we do not need to protect this country and just allow anyone to come in. All along, while they have walls around their house and they have bodyguards. They're against guns, but they have people with guns guarding them. You know, it's nuts. They say it's immoral to have a wall And I say it's immoral to sell your nation out for your own agenda to get the votes of people. Yes. It's required of our politicians to be good stewards. So how much more are you and I to be good stewards of the kingdom of God? Amen? Amen. Do the opposite of our politicians and you'll be doing good. They'll say, most parents, they don't even let their children go down and play with little troublemaker Johnny down at the end of the... I like to use that one. That shuts up a lot of some of the younger parents when they talk stupid. Well, why put up a wall now? They're already in. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, let's just let the rest in then, you know, to just talk stupid. And it says, you won't even let your kid go down and play with the troublemaker down at the end of the block. You don't just invite anybody over to sleep over in your house. Amen. It's becoming a political rally here, though. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we need to just vote smart and pray. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, personally, I'm grateful for Donald Trump. He has accomplished a lot. I've never heard in my life a politician use the word a child is made in most holy image of God. Whether he really means it deep in his heart or not, I think he probably does. I think he really does believe and loves, you know, little babies. I thank the Lord for him. I heard a preacher on the on 1340 saying that God is, that Trump is judgment. And I'm like, well, he must be listening to the wrong news. Because we've seen, you know, they defunded Planned Parenthood or abortion and other. Did you know we were paying for other countries that have abortions? He pulled that back. He put Jerusalem back on the map, you know. And we know a nation that blesses Israel will be blessed. And he's done a lot of good things. He's an immoral man, yeah. Which of them guys, unless they're born again, aren't immoral? I think we got a lot of people today that got logs in their eyes that are wanting people to get the speck out of theirs. So I think, getting back to the kingdom of God, you know, we get so caught up with protecting our own little world that we don't give much thought to watching over God's kingdom. We're called to do that. I'm thinking that the most common thought that settles in the mind of Christians is, it's God's kingdom, he'll watch over it. Why? But then why does he bestow it upon us? If he's just going to watch over it, he wouldn't say, I'm putting this in your hands. This is your responsibility till I come back. You watch over it. You be watchmen. You speak for me. He wants us to handle his affairs. He wants us to guard this great treasure. And this is the highest privilege every one of us has. It isn't just the pastor and the elders overseeing the church. We all oversee the kingdom of God. One day he's going to pour unbelievable riches of his kingdom upon us. But for now, we are to protect what God has given us charge over. So we protect his kingdom from heresies. Make sure wrong teachings don't come in. We protect this kingdom from wolves, people who want to come in and devour the sheep, and we've protected from having a bad reputation. Isn't that the kingdom of God? Well, it's the church right now, for the most part, that gets the bad rap. We don't ever want the kingdom of God. There's some people that know that church has failed me, but I know there's something really, there is a really a kingdom out there that exists. I just can't find it yet. And we are to reveal that kingdom, and we are to give the kingdom of God a good reputation. I used that verse last week where Moses didn't want God to have a bad reputation. He says, you don't want people to think you brought them out here and then you couldn't deliver them and they all died. And God heard Moses' prayer. And the third thing we must do is we must promote and advance the kingdom of God. So we must be faithful to it. We must protect it, be watchmen on the walls. And then we must promote and advance the kingdom of God. It's basically the Great Commission. Both John the Baptist and Jesus did the same thing. They preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They were delegates and representatives of the kingdom of God. Kingdom-minded people take their Christianity out into the world. The understanding of the kingdom of God is bigger than the four walls of their church. They understand that the kingdom of God has more citizens than just those we're looking at in here this morning. And they understand it's bigger than the little Christian circle we are in. And they understand that the need for everyone in this world, no matter how vile of a sinner they are, to come into the kingdom of God. And that they can come into the kingdom of God unless they have become reprobate somewhere along the line. It is available for all who want to enter in. So when we preach to others, we must realize that we are inviting them to be a part of a kingdom. It's a real kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom. But yet, you're not invisible. And I'm not invisible. And you and I are representatives. You and I are citizens of the kingdom. And wherever people see us, they are going to see the kingdom of God. And it's bestowed upon you to be faithful to it. It's bestowed upon you to represent it true. It's bestowed upon you to live this truth that saved us. Praise God. It is when the gospel of the kingdom, it says in Matthew 24, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all nations, then the end will come. Praise God. So in conclusion, I'm gonna pray and ask God to make every one of us just more aware of his kingdom than we have ever been. before. To start seeing past our little Christian life and see this great, vast kingdom that you and I are part of. And what a privilege we have for God to give it to you and say, take care of this for me while I'm gone. And I'm going to pray that he'll let us know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to just keep on being revealed to us, and that he would help us be faithful stewards of his kingdom. So while I'm praying this, and while you're agreeing with me, if the ushers come and distribute the communion this morning, this is one thing that the people do in the kingdom of God all over the world is bread together as a remembrance of what the Lord has done for them. Because of him going to the cross, because of Calvary, as Betty spoke this morning, we have become citizens of the kingdom. You're more than just a Christian. You're more than just following Christ. You have entered into the kingdom of God. It is, when everything's said and done, when this whole world is burnt up and rolled up like a scroll, the heavens and the earth, you and I are still living in the kingdom of God. And it's going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever, times infinity, times a million, times infinity, times a trillion, times infinity. Praise God. That's infinity. That's forever. Amen. So I'm going to pray again. Lord, I just prayed, Father, that you make us aware of this kingdom, Lord, that you bestowed upon us, Lord. This is more than just a little Sunday morning gathering, Lord. It's more than just doing our Christian thing and our Christian talk and praying and reading and all of these things we do, Lord, that are vital for sure, Lord. But we are a part of a kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kingdoms are more than just a little region, Lord. This kingdom is universal. Hallelujah. It's everywhere your people are, Lord. I just pray you just make us so aware of it, Lord. Let us feel the weight of it, Lord, of this responsibility that you've given us, Lord. Help us, God, to be faithful stewards. Remind us every time, Lord, we are before people that we are representing your kingdom. We're all trained so well to go into church and put on our smile and put on, and which we should, and put on kindness. And whether we feel like it or not, we're so trained to do that, Lord. May we do that for your kingdom, Lord. May we always realize wherever we are that we are to represent you, Lord. Hallelujah. And represent this kingdom that we are living in. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you give us a revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom, God. Ongoing revelation, Lord. We need that, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have many exciting things for us to see. I know me personally, Lord, one of the most exciting things you do is reveal truth to me, Lord. And you reveal your word to me. You reveal Christ to me, Lord. And you reveal the things of your kingdom to us, Lord. God, I just pray, Lord, you privilege us all this morning. You bless us all this morning to see the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The more we see it, the more we'll be faithful to it, Lord. The more we see it, the more we'll know it exists, Lord, and that we are representing it before others, God. Thank you for bestowing this great privilege on us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. In Luke chapter 24, a couple disciples, after Jesus rose from the dead on that same day, a couple disciples were heading to Emmaus, and Jesus showed up, and he started walking with them, and they kind of like, hey, what's going on, guys? I'm paraphrasing here. And he's saying, and they said, well, haven't you heard what's going on here in Jerusalem? And you know, about what happened to Jesus. So they didn't know it was Jesus yet. So he starts talking with them as they're walking along, and he's talking with them. Later they said their hearts, they were burning inside as he's talking. It didn't say it right at the moment, but a little later said that. But they still didn't recognize him as he's going on. And then they wanted, you know, Jesus was going to keep on going on, and they persuaded him to stay with them. And you know what Jesus did is he broke bread with them. And it was like, what an awesome thing. Their eyes were blind. They couldn't see the very Messiah. These are disciples of Jesus. They couldn't see him. They didn't recognize who he was. But as soon as they broke bread, all of a sudden their eyes were open. And they saw that it was Jesus. And then he vanished out of their sight. But I'm asking the Lord, as we break bread this morning, let our eyes, let us see Jesus. Amen. Let us see the kingdom of God. Let us see this morning what we have not yet seen. Open up our heart, open up our eyes, God, to see great mysteries, Lord. Open our eyes to see your kingdom. Open your eyes that we can see Christ.